Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamieson. Well, and we're rocking. I think they got some new equipment or something here, so you know we might get some hiccups every now and again. But we got a little bit of a flashback. We got George back in the studio with us again. He is the man. Miss him, and wouldn't like having him around. The show, Your Real Estate Today. If you're just tuning in, I'm Paul Jamieson, your host, here with the one, the only, Miss Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. Hey, Sandy.
Hello.
Just freshly jet-lagged back into Charlotte.
Back into Charlotte.
That's right. Doing some edumacating. getting sharpening the saw.
Getting my learn on. That's right.
That's it. That's awesome. Well, this show is about real estate. Anything having to do with your home, anything having to do with selling a home, buying a home, fixing it, taking care of it, mortgages, what should you do, how should you, if you're looking at investment property, managing investment property, rental property, how do you finance those things? We've got a lot of things to talk about today because the subjects, to kind of give you the teaser for what we're going to talk about, is I'm going to spend some time with Sandy talking a little bit about the internet loans. We're going to talk about what you find on the internet. We're going to talk a little bit about the builders. And then we're going to make a point about points. Sound like a plan?
That sounds good.
Okay. And one of the things that I would like to share with you along with Sandy is we're going to talk some about if you're getting ready to sell your home and it needs updates. And you really don't want to or you cannot afford to make the updates that it needs, what are some things that you can do that don't cost a lot of money to help the sale of the house?
I need that. That sounds good.
And then we're going to talk about doing the same thing for rentals. So if you're an investor out there and you've got a piece of property that you can't rent, or if you want to reevaluate your piece of property or you want to do something nice for a tenant, here are a few suggestions for that too.
Nice.
All right. So let's work backwards, Sandy. Let's make a point about the points.
All right.
Okay. Because I think that is a misunderstood scenario. You gave me a great stat about payback on a point. What was that?
So if you pay a point at closing, which typically buys your rate down about 0.25%.
Okay.
It takes about 5 years to break even or to recover that point through the lower payment. So I don't typically recommend buying points unless the difference in rate only costs maybe 0.25%, a quarter point, or a small amount that's negligible. I think they're tax deductible. I'm not positive about that anymore. I think they are. However, I don't think you get your money's worth unless you really stay in the house a long time and keep the same mortgage for a long time. Most people don't keep their mortgages more than 5 and 7 years, even if they stay in the house.
That's a misnomer to me. I did not know that points, the payback on points, that's interesting. So, and by the way, if you want to call, sorry, I forgot to tell you, 704-570-1110. We're live, 704-570-1110. You can call in with questions, and we'll be happy to take those. Sandy's here, I'm here, so feel free to call. You call in. George picks up the phone. He's running back and forth from the board. He'll pick up the phone. He will get your number in case we get disconnected. He'll put you on the air with us. And don't be shy about calling. If you've got a question, you might be helping somebody else that has the same one. So that's what we like about when people call in, Sandy.
Everybody gets more knowledge.
Yeah, they all call me on Monday. Hey, got a question. No, call now. 704-570-1110. Okay. You said, Sandy, a point equates to about what in your payment?
About, well, it's about 0.25% in rate. I was doing some calculations before we came over, and I was just looking at a $250,000 loan, the difference between a 4 7/8 and a 5 rate, uh-huh. and it's less than $20. So a quarter would be less than $40. So if you take, say, 1 point is $2,500, and you divide that by the $40 in difference in payment, you're looking at 62 months.
That's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it. It's not a good deal. You know, not unless your seller's paying it.
You know, it's kind of like that expression, you know, where for people that drive from Matthews all the way to South Carolina to save 10 cents
right,
on gas.
Right.
It's kind of like running over dollars to pick up dimes. You know what I'm saying? It's really interesting because if you look at that difference in payment, and most people, like you say, are only going to be in that house for about 5 to 7 years,
mm-hmm.
the way things are
right.
going now.
And the market changes up and down about every 5 to 7 years. So even if you're in the house, you're going to refinance to a 15-year, you're going to take some cash out, you're going to want to do something different with the mortgage.
Yeah, $40 a month, you know, that's a decent Christmas. That's what I'm saying, you know.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. Well, you can, or if you have teenagers, that's like, what, two pairs of gym shoes or something?
A couple trips to Starbucks.
All right. So this is a complete sidebar that has nothing to do with real estate. So I tease my wife all the time, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there tomorrow. And you too, Sandy.
Oh,
happy
thank
Mother's
you.
Day. That at Starbucks, it's $1.50 a word. So, like, let's say you get a cafe latte, $3.
Okay.
Cafe latte mocha, $4.50. Cafe latte mocha skinny, $6. You know? So every word you say at Starbucks is $1.50. Try it sometime. So, you know, for Carrie tomorrow, since it is Mother's Day, I will let her have up to a 5-word coffee.
You're the you're too
aren't
good
I
to
the
her.
Best?
You're
aren't I the
to
best?
It.
A 5-word coffee. Try it sometime, though. I think I've figured out their secret. You know, 704-570-1110. If you want to talk to us. So after the break, Sandy and I are going to go back and forth a little bit on my magic list. If you have a house and you do not have a large budget to renovate and do, and you have a limited amount of funds, but you want to do something, we're going to talk a little bit about what those things might be to improve the house, to get as good of a price as you can. You know, obviously it's better to fix it, but if you can't, that's how it is. All right, you're listening to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison here, Jamison Realty with Keller Williams, Jamison Property Management, Sandy Dickinson, Summit Funding on News 1110 99.3 WBT. We'll be right back. Who is that, George?
Bleachers.
Okay. Kind of sounded like it could have gone into the Partridge Family or something right after the way it started. You know, I just saw that psychedelic bus pulling up. It's kind of scary. And you have to be old to remember that. All right. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Thanks for tuning in. We're live from the WBT studios. Paul Jamison here, Jamison Realty with Keller Williams, Jamison Property Management, and, of course, your host here with your friend, and mine, Sandy Dickinson, with Summit Funding, mortgage lender extraordinaire and all-around good woman. So, all right. Sandy, we have got to help some folks that want to sell figure out a way to get some things done without spending a lot of money.
I like it.
So, here are some highlines, and then we'll break it down, okay? The very first thing, and I love this about the outline I've got today and what I wrote. I love this about what I wrote is that you need to understand, first of all, before you do anything, right, who's your buyer?
Right.
I mean, if you don't know who your buyer is, how do you know what you do is correct?
That's right.
You know?
Because every generation has a different different yeah. want.
Yeah. You know, I really think about the move-up generation, which is either coming out of an apartment, getting into their first home, or moving from a very small starter home into their secondary home. And I think about the stuff that they like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I work with staging with my wife, Carrie, and one of the things we always talk about is the Pottery Barn throw-up. So it's kind of like that age loves Pottery Barn-ish contemporary kind of mix.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's kind of like if you go in and throw up Pottery Barn, you can take an old house and make it look like the coolest thing ever. Right?
That's right.
You know? So I kind of lost my train of thought there. Back to my purpose. I feel like Donald Trump. I'm going off the script here, but I do that, and I'm going to keep doing that. All right, so learn about your buyer pool. What do they like? What's important to them? Are you in a kid-friendly area? Are you in an area more tuned to seniors? Are you in an area for move-up buyers, first-time buyers? What do they like?
Mm-hmm.
What is the neighborhood like? What is the makeup of the house? And that gives you some extra thoughts. Okay? Okay, so we're going through the common sense setup, right? So don't roll your eyes, please. All right? Clean up the front yard. Work on the yard. Work on that first impression. What is the first impression? It is the mailbox, the yard, and as you drive up, is the grass cut? Is the walk swept?
Mm-hmm.
Does it look neat? Does it look cared for? Does it look loved? You know, I always used to say, because I stink at gardening, there's probably a stronger word, but I'm really bad at it. I liked crabgrass because it was always green.
And it's easy.
Yeah. You know? Problem is it kind of, it's hard to cut with a mower. But, you know, if your yard at least is cut and neat, even if it's got, yeah, again, sidebar, you know, the stuff that when your salad comes now that grows in your front yard. Remember, it used to be iceberg lettuce. Now it's the stuff from your yard that they put in a salad.
Right.
So
matcha grass.
That's right. Go ahead and cut the stuff. You can eat it later. Okay. We're going to talk about some of the obvious. But right now, let's talk about, you know, that front door, that front walk. Make sure the area around the door is neat, clean, painted.
What color are we painting the door?
We're painting it blue-gray because you get $1,850 more for a blue-gray door.
Oh, my gosh. Millennials love that color.
They do. It's,
everyone under 30 in my office has painted everything blue-gray.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And the agreeable gray paint from Sherwin-Williams, rockstar paint. I'm telling you, they've made a fortune. Buy Sherwin-Williams stocks. However, I'm not a stock advisor. Please consult your stock advisor for more information. All right, never mind. All right. Educate yourself on renovation loans. If you want to borrow money to get your house back, because there's a lot of renovations you can do that are certainly more than a dollar-to-dollar return.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have some equity in your home, maybe a line of credit? Sandy?
Yeah, absolutely. But I would recommend that because they're cheap.
Yeah. And they're short-term. You can control the amount of interest you pay by the amount of money you use.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, too. Okay. Highlight the amazing features the home already has. Now, here's what I mean by that. It was funny today. I was showing property this morning, and the house had a really cool fireplace in it. Even though, in Charlotte, you might use that fireplace, what, like twice? Unless you're just
a cold winter.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great opportunity for an accent piece. So there are a lot of architectural features, trim, areas, things you can do to accentuate your doorway, your patio, your porch, whatever the case, whatever that item is, accentuate it, the benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then make sure you talk about it so that people understand, hey, by the way, you know, if you want to sit out on the front porch with a rocker and a glass of lemonade, make sure that porch is nice and neat. Or maybe you got a couple of chairs, a little table, and a fake glass of lemonade out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that, or vodka. And, of course, make sure you price it right. Now, again, on the high-level piece, I was with a client this morning, and we were talking about decluttering. That's free, by the way.
And key. That's key.
Yeah, decluttering. And she was saying, you know, she would imagine statistically, if you walk into the average home that you're getting ready to sell, that particularly 50 to 60% of the stuff could probably be taken out that's in the house.
It's a lot of stuff.
Well, it depends on how much stuff you have, right? To the average pack rat person, i.e. me, and George is pointing at himself, you're not a pack rat, are you, Sandy? You don't keep stuff, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, see? We're all guilty.
Got a storage unit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got one too. Go ahead and get it out of there for the showings. And I made the comment, some houses actually show better empty.
Really? I haven't heard that.
Okay, so let me explain. As much as I love to rearrange and set up homes to optimize them, if you can't afford staging, Pottery Barn throw up, depending on your market, sometimes the furniture that you have, that it just doesn't match the buyer that is going to come to look.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't unclutter it to the place where it's just still looking at you, like you're an antique lover. You know, when you have a lot of antiques, I love antiques. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you go into a house that's for a millennial and it's full of antiques, what are they going to say? Yeah. House is out of date.
Right.
And it's going to scream louder.
Right.
Right? So sometimes it's better to just empty the thing. And then people can paint their own vision of what it looks like. But if you empty it, my recommendation is always paint it.
Yeah. I've been in some recently open houses that have a couple of the rooms done and a couple of the rooms empty.
Yeah. When we stage, typically we stage the main rooms, living room, entryway, master bedroom, master bath, kitchen area.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it doesn't matter. If we haven't connected with you by then, mm-hmm. we're not going to.
Okay.
But if there's a special feature about something or a certain room, you want to focus on that. If you're on a limited budget, you can do that too. Sometimes there's even the staging, like, for example, we have an empty house over in Deerfield Creek. Carrie went over. She staged the bathrooms, fresh towels, tied them up, some greenery in the living rooms and family rooms, some things on the kitchen counter, cookbooks and things to, you know, just kind of give it a little bit of comfort,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not make it look echo-y.
And get rid of the pictures of the family.
Yeah, and the dogs playing poker and stuff. 704, George has one of those, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You want to talk some real estate, you want to talk about anything, we're here to do that. You want to talk about mortgage, you want to talk about rental property. So really thinking about the paint, that is the cheapest, easiest way to do it. However, I was in a home today and I was told that the painter was 82 years old. And it took him like a month to paint the inside of the house. Sometimes you should let somebody else do something.
Yeah, I'm finding that out myself.
You know, it is the trim had paint all over it, and some walls had gone back to paint. So, you know, it was glaring that he was not the steadiest of hand. I admire the effort of painting a house at the age of 82. That's pretty awesome. But maybe.
Do we have to paint the closets?
Sometimes, yes. Master closet in particular. The rest of them you can get away with.
Okay.
I'm seeing a lot of yellow. I guess this is kind of a trend that had been there 10 years ago is the, I don't know what they call that yellow. If you know out there, let me know. But it's
like mustard?
Well, not quite. It's kind of like yeah, like a Dijon. And So anyway, all right, well, when we come back, we're going to talk about internet loans, and we're going to talk about making your rentals appealing. So stay with us. Paul Jamieson here with Sandy Dickinson. This is the show, Your Real Estate Today, on News 1110 99.3 WBT. Hey, welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamieson, your host, finishing up a call, and I will have to finish that later. My phone rings all the time.
Ride home with a Hall of Famer.
Is that Hall of Famer you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, just checking. Okay. All kinds of stuff popping out there, George. Yeah, really.
George looks a little aggravated.
Yeah, he is. Okay, so one of the things we want to talk about is internet loans. That's been a big, I guess, back and forth conversation that we've had for a long time. You know, somebody's got their phone there. Sandy, you quote them a rate. Then they go, oh, well, my phone says it's this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it might be that. It might not be that. I mean, there's a lot that go into quoted rates. And so to do it without them knowing your credit score, your loan amount, your down payment, the type of loan, I mean, there's so many variables that probably once you click in and someone calls you, it's going to be a little bit different or a lot different.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, if some of the rates, a lot of people don't know if they've got points.
Yeah, a lot of them are with points. Some of them are dated because our rates sometimes change 2 and 3 times a day. I know they're not updating them that often. I suspect they're
Well, wait
not.
A minute. So if somebody calls and has a rate, then and they have it online, and let's just say it's 4.5%,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and this is at 9 o'clock. So then at 12 o'clock, that rate can change, but on the internet, it may not be updated.
That's right. And here's the thing. We all get our rates from the same place.
Okay. The rate store?
The rate store on okay. Wall Street.
Okay.
And so we take, and I follow the 10-year bond. So if people are throwing money into bonds and the economy's not that great and they're scared, our rates go down. When the economy's strong and getting stronger like it is now and people are happy and they're throwing their money into the stock market versus the bond market, then rates tend to go up. So we're expecting another rate hike in June. And so when the market's volatile, we'll get 2 or 3 changes a day. Sometimes we only get one. But the bottom line is that because we all get them from the same place, they're not going to be that much different. You may see an eighth or a quarter, but you're not going to see a significant amount of difference in the rates from one to another. So if you have a complicated situation, you're probably going to want a person with a lot of mortgage experience, and you're probably going to want somebody local that you can sit down and talk with.
Yeah, I mean, the benefit, of course, it's easy, right, Sandy? And we'll get to you, DG, in just 1 second. Who's DG is their name? Okay. All right. Hang on, DG. We'll be right with you. All right. So the phone is easy, right?
Right.
I mean, you just kind of look at it. You go click, and you go, here's my rate.
Right.
And then they point at you and go, well, why is your rate different than this rate?
Yeah, I get it all the time.
Yeah. And there are so many variables, but the interesting one is the point piece of it. There may be, in those mm-hmm. rates, there may be points or fees or other
right.
things that, you know. And you quoted a statistic. You said something about 60% of the internet loans.
Well, it was a statistic a little while back, but it was 60% of the people that go through the internet lenders don't end up getting what they thought they were getting.
Wow. Wow. That's huge. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. If you have a question or you want to talk some real estate, that's why we're here. All right, DG, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How can I help you, friend?
I was an accountant for about 37 years. Then I started trying to sell real estate.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't been out of it too long, but I think I may have some property to sell soon. But I keep seeing these real estate ads on TV. I don't believe I heard of these people, knock and offer sheets and hallelujah and all that kind of stuff. What what's happened to the real estate business?
Well, you know, I want to tell you something that you and I are probably cut from the same cloth. And what I mean by that is there is the real estate business that I know and that I live in, which is you get up every day, you put a suit on, you go to work, you work hard, you help people, you do the right thing, and what you tell them is always the truth, right?
Amen.
And then there's another side of the real estate business, kind of like this internet loan piece we were talking about, that you provide information to people. I'm not saying it's bad. It's different. Where in some cases, there may be folks out there that don't want or appreciate the kind of ways that Sandy and I approach the business. They feel like they want to do it on their own. They don't need expert advice. And then there are other folks out there that say, hey, if we don't sell it for you, we'll give you 40 cents on the dollar and buy it. And, you know, that's just not the kind of real estate I do. And I will never do that. If I'm going to deal with somebody, if I can't sell it or if I think that's unrealistic, I'm going to tell them so. And you're right, DG. The business has changed. The internet provides a lot of information. But you know what I say, friend? I say, when is the last time the internet sat down at your table and walked through your house?
You're right.
And that's the thing. They don't know anything about anything other than a bunch of algorithms. They don't know what you've done to the house, what the schools are, what's happening around the neighborhood. They don't know anything about anything. Is it a good source of information? Sure. But when you're selling something that's the biggest asset, or you're borrowing money for the biggest asset of your life, do you really want to point and click?
You're right. Maybe I'm just too old. I'm 86 years old, but I still have an interest in the way things go from politics on down. And,
yeah,
and,
me too.
And the real estate, it was a little different when I was working in real estate. And I had been a controller in accounting, and it's different there, too.
Right.
And one of the things in both the areas was, and I know you got a lady there, but there's a lot of ladies in the business now, in
right.
real estate and accounting, too. And that's changed it, too.
Well, sure it has. And there are a tremendous amount of fantastic realtors out there. But, you know, the difference between some of us is, and I always go back to this, technology is a tool, just like in your business as a CPA. A computer is a tool. When it gets down to it, we operate the tool as humans. We're not the tool.
Mm-hmm.
And experience and time and school of hard knocks and all those things, DG, make the difference between moving somebody and helping somebody, even though we're not perfect, moving something and helping something and being there to work with somebody makes all the difference. Don't you agree, Sandy?
I do, yeah. And I think you get more technical knowledge face-to-face than the people that kind of work at the internet and don't really want to do the face-to-face thing.
Hey, DG, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
When you were growing up, and even now, if you shook a man's hand, what did that mean?
That man, I was going to try to be friends with him, and I was going to be honest with him. And,
that's right.
And that's the way it is. I had one question here. I don't want to take all your time, but
sure.
Related to the property I have. I have got a couple of properties. I think they're 20-acre tracts.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought them. One of them I saw at a sale up, and this is like 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it for a very low price.
Mm-hmm.
And then I inherited another 20 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it, you know, that was given to me.
Right.
But I have a friend of mine. He just was in an estate. And it was a lot of money. But it had been a long time. And he inherited some money. And he said, the way they calculated how much profit he made, they ended up taking it in taxes.
Yeah, because of his basis, right?
Yeah, and that was the question. What is the basis if there's something that is real to you?
Well, it depends on how it comes to you. There are multiple ways through an estate that it can come to you. And so let me give you the disclaimer. I'm not an attorney. Please consult an attorney for more information. I'm certainly not a CPA like you, so please consult a CPA for more information. But yeah. I did have a good night's sleep last night.
Yeah.
It really depends on how that gets brought through you and how the estate is set up as to what the basis is at the time it gets transferred. So that difference, as you know from being in accounting, between what you sell it for and what that basis is what the government's going to look to take a percentage of from you. And, you know, I think it's a case-by-case basis, but I think you make a good point that you always need to know what your basis is. DG, thanks for calling. We're at a hard break. This is Paul Jamison, the show Your Real Estate Today with Sandy Dickinson, Summit Funding. Stay with us. There's much more. News 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to show Your Real Estate Today. I'm here, Paul Jamison, your host, with Jamison Realty with Keller Williams, Jamison Property Management, the show Your Real Estate Today. If you're just popping on, I'm here with my good friend Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. We've been talking about internet loans, and we had a great call from a gentleman by the name of DG who got us on a good track of kind of I think he kind of pulled my soapbox out of me a little bit because I'm really passionate about the way I do business, and I'm not saying it's the only way to do business. It's how I do it, and I got to be careful because I mean,
well, a lot of it is negotiating and. Especially after inspections and stuff, it's hard to do that with an internet
yeah, they don't,
seller
they don't, or
realtor.
Yeah, yeah, they don't care. I mean, and the lending process has a lot of moving parts, and it's not always because of how your process works. It's how the government's process works. You talked a minute ago about two equal loans, but each one. One was for more money than the other, but the rates were different. And it all comes from the rate store, Wall Street.
That's right.
Based on how things are set.
And Dodd-Frank regulates a lot of what we do. So people think they have negotiation ability with rates. And the fact of the matter is that the law says if I get two people that come into my office with the same scenario, I have to give them the same rate. That takes away your negotiation capability because otherwise I'm not being fair.
That's right. And it's all about being fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'll tell you what, though, the internet doesn't give the same level of service you give. You're talking to people on Saturday or Sunday, you know,
yep.
And all the time. I called Sandy, when was it, Tuesday night?
Yeah, I work when you work.
And you were in Orlando, and she answered the phone. And we went on a conference call with clients.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty stinking amazing, I'd say. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. All right. So we talked about 60% approximately, and a stat that you had heard where those internet loans don't go through. The communication. You know, the inconsistency is a big piece of that too, right? Not having the same person some of the times when
right,
you call
in. Right. So the person that usually, and I don't, they're not all the same. And I've never been through one, but I've heard someone takes your loan application, passes it to a centralized processing area, which is probably not local, and then I don't know who you deal with, whether it's the processor, whether it's a clerk. It could, you know, and then if there's difficulties, you don't have anybody there that can restructure and to research the guidelines and try to get, you know, sometimes they're gray and we get around them. We're pretty good at that. At Summit, so you have to know your business.
You have to know what you can do and what you can't do, and you're not reading from a notebook.
Right.
You're working with a person.
Sometimes you can talk some underwriters into some stuff.
Yeah, exactly. 704-570-1110 if you have a question. Okay. Face-to-face is a big thing. And their advertising costs are certainly higher than yours.
Yeah, so we don't advertise on TV, radio.
Well, radio.
Well, here yeah, now, but right. But the advertising costs for like a Rocket or a Quicken or I'm trying to think who are the other internet or lead gen lenders are is tremendous. So when they're determining their margins to set their rates, they're going to have that cost. They're not putting it into their people. They're putting it into their advertising. Face-to-face lenders put it a little bit more into their people, which I think gives you more value. So if you're looking at one of the internet lenders I was looking at this morning, actually had a higher rate and points, and I'm sure that's because of the advertising cost.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because we were talking a little bit about builders earlier and all the incentives. You know, I really feel, and it sure does feel like it, because I had a client who had done a builder loan, that all those incentives that we got initially for them applying with that lender, they've gotten back and then some. And they're kind of a one-stop shop, right? So, you know, for example, I won't mention the builder, Pulte, happened to have a lender, and when you go with, I won't mention the lender, Pulte Mortgage. oh, that was a thought bubble. It burst. I'm sorry. They go to their own rates. They don't shop it anywhere. It's their rates and only their rates.
Yeah, so a lot of the builders have started their own mortgage companies and title companies and all kinds of things, and they want you there, and they want to make money in not just the build, but also in the mortgages and in the title insurance. So I'm not sure that that's a good thing, but you know, it sounds good on the surface. Hey, I'll give you $4,000 or $5,000 towards your closing cost if you go with our people.
You're gonna pay one way or the other. You're gonna pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be in the price of the house. It could be in the rate. I mean, you just never know where it is.
Yeah. So, you know, some people do it and some people don't. And, you know, I'm really going to pay a lot more attention now that I'm learning from Sandy about those, you know, those proposed plans with some of these new builders, and really dig into what their points costs are, what their costs are, because, you know, nothing worse than getting a $5,000 incentive, getting a loan, and having to pay, you know, $3,000 in cost of points to get a rate. I mean, just kind of, anyway. So you know now.
Yeah, some of these down payment assistance loans, they give you 3%, but 1% is going to go to points, and so that drops it down to 2%. And then there's all kinds of strings attached. I don't really like those loans. They sound good. It sounds like you're getting free money, but in the end, it's not really free.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no such thing as a free lunch or a mortgage. Okay, so I decided to put together just a tiny little list for the rental market of, I went and found a list of 75 things you could do to your rental to get more renter, make a tenant happy. And let me give you some of their list, and then I'll give you some of mine. Change the battery and the smoke alarms. Duh. Fit the door stops. Put some door stops on the internal doors to break down on damage. Duh. Put new elements and liners. Somebody put foil. Who puts foil around elements on the stove anymore? Well, my grandmother did.
A doily.
Hang a new shower curtain. That always is kind of a little appealing, but just realize you're going to get it back skanked when the lease is over. New toilet seat. That's always nice. A fresh toilet seat is kind of cool. Fire extinguisher in the kitchen. I like that. A lock. Furnish a lock for the outdoor sheds and outbuildings. That's always nice. Mm-hmm. People like that. Provide a plastic bucket, mop, sponge, cloth, cleaning products, gloves, etc. for the tenant when they move in.
Oh, that's like a housewarming gift.
Start a philosophy of clean. Okay, I like that one too. Paint. Yeah. Okay. Automatic lights inside of cupboards. I don't know about that. Have the lawn maintenance included in the rent. I don't mind that one. That's a pretty good one. Have the carpet stretched. Duh. Outside lights, some motion lights put in. I kind of like that one.
I like that one too.
New doormat and front doormat. I like that. Maybe even have their name on it, or you know, you can get them one that says, go away, stupid, or something. You again, you know, whatever. Pay for an alarm and include it in the rent. I kind of like that one. And get friendly with the neighbors. I don't know about that. Okay. All right. So it depends, because a lot of renters don't like, or neighbors don't like renters. So they might not want to be friendly. Okay. So let's talk about some of my things to make something more rent appealing. I've got less than 60 seconds, so I'm going to fly through so you can get them. You ready? Here we go. Paint the cabinets. Always a good way to freshen up a kitchen if you don't have a lot of money. Put down LVP, even if you have wood floors. Get out the carpet. LVP, luxury vinyl plank. It's strips and boards that are made of vinyl. The stuff is bulletproof. It's awesome. We use it. I put it over fresh hardwood floors because you can have an animal that makes a mistake. Mm-hmm. People can spill, drop, and do, and it doesn't. They don't ruin. They're good stuff. Offer a tech solution. Give them Ring.com, alarm monitoring, like the other one said. Those bulbs that interface with Alexa. Some neat things you can do. Include internet. Give them a free AC filter subscription. New filters come every month. At least they're there.
I like
possibly
that.
They couldn't put them in. Have it cleaned every 3 months. Include a deep clean. Give them a porch swing. And I like giving a subscription to something. Cleaning products, fruit, restaurant, gift cards, etc. Or just lower the price. All right. Sandy, how do they get in touch with you?
704-577-0144.
And at Jameson, 704-846-DONE. That's 846-3663. Happy Mother's Day. We're glad you were with us. This is Paul Jameson. We'll talk to you next week. God bless. Take care.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.